How has turnout compared to 2014?
Similar. We had 70% turnout in 2014, and we have a lot more registered voters now, of course, because of motor voter. We've added almost 100,000 registered voters since 2014. So we will get a lot more ballots back. That's clear from the data we've gotten so far. The percentage may be a little lower than 70%, might be a little higher than 70%. It's hard to tell right now, but we're getting a lot of ballots back, that's for sure. We have added a lot more registered voters, obviously, and typically Oregon does rank pretty high in terms of turnout of eligible voters, and motor voter is only going to increase the number of eligible voters registered, therefore, and in Oregon, everybody who's registered gets a ballot delivered to wherever they'd like it to be delivered. So yeah, I would say Oregon is an anomaly in that instance. We get a ballot in everybody's hand that's eligible based on several different methods of registration, and we try to keep them registered.
So I was just going to kind of walk you through the path of the ballot.
Right on.
We pick up our ballots at the post office every morning. We went to the post office at 7 a.m. and got about 42 trays of ballots back. So we got a lot of ballots back. There's about 300 ballots in a tray. When we get the ballots, the first thing we do is run them through the high-speed mail sorter and capture an image of the signature. And then the database pairs up their most recent voter registration signature with that signature that we've just captured off the ballot. And then they're presented to the folks in these room to make the decision about whether or not the signature matches. And on the first level review, they only have access to that most recent voter registration signature. So if they don't think it matches based on the criteria that they've been trained on, then they reject it and it goes to a supervisor who then looks at it again. But the supervisor has access to all the signatures that we've collected over time from an individual, from voter registration cards or for the DMV. And most often, based on that additional information, more samples of handwriting were able to change that rejected signature to a matching signature. But if the supervisor doesn't feel that they're able to find enough matching characteristics in the pair of signatures or all the samples that we have, then the voters sent a letter, and they have until 14 days after the election to send us a new sample on a new registration card. And most of the time what they return matches, and we're able to count their ballots.
Do you know approximately what percentage or how many ballots have been rejected for no signature at this point?
Not for this election, but we could get you that data. Mm-hmm. At this point, it would be incomplete because we're still in the process of going through those. And so, for instance, when the ballots come back, we do the pass through the sorter. We do the first level review, and then we do the what we call review verify, and that's what the supervisors do. And that's what we're in the process of doing for this group of ballots that came in this morning. If you want to go into the observation room, we can look at the screens.
Well, I do, because, you know, I would consider it a very serious denial of voting rights for someone to lose their ability to vote in an election because their signature was non-matching to the point that that right had to be terminated.
It's absolutely something that we take very seriously. Yeah.
How many of the signatures do you know? What percentage of the mismatching signatures have been sent in to Secretary of State for prosecution?
A very small percentage. The ones that we send in are ones where we believe someone else entirely has signed the ballot. And that happens sometimes. I was talking to my staff this morning. They had a man call who said we had rejected his signature, and he said, well, I had my wife sign my ballot for me, and we then had to educate him that it's him that has to actually sign the ballot. That's not something.
Can't be delegated.
Can't be delegated, exactly. It's not something you can give away.
That does raise an interesting question, though. I mean, if the subset of the ones that are sent to the Secretary of State are those in which you feel reasonably certain that someone else has signed the ballot, then why would the other signatures, if you follow me, be rejected?
Well, because we're What we're doing is we're looking to see whether or not we can make a match based on the criteria put forth in the vote by mail manual, as I've presented to you, as well as training that these folks have received from a forensic handwriting analyst. And so we have this set of criteria that we are required by law to match against.
I appreciate you sending that information in to me. I noticed that it did not have information, for example, on how a signature changes over time due to neural degeneration. For example, my signature doesn't look like it did 20 years ago.
Sure. There's many reasons signatures change, not necessarily neural degeneration, but maturation. Say someone signs their first registration card when they're 18 years old, and they go into the workforce, and 15 years later, their signature doesn't look anything like it because they sign it 300 times a day, maybe, like I do with my signature sometimes. And they've chosen a shortened form of their signature. But we still have to match against the same characteristics. So there's if there's not enough left that we can match against, if their signature has changed so much that we can't find enough matching characteristics to make a match, then we send a letter. And that's the opportunity for the person to reach out to us and say, oh yeah, my signature's changed. Here's my new signature, and we should be able to count their ballot.
If I sign Joe Meyer and on registration's Joseph Meyer, will you still match that?
If the handwriting is the same, we will match it, yes. We don't have to have the exact signature as you've matched. Sometimes we can see that someone, as their signature has matured, starts dropping maybe the end of their last name, something like that. It degenerates into squiggles at a certain point. And that's, they're doing that.
Because you get old and you don't care.
Well, or you just, you know, speed. You know, you're trying to write your name fast. You've practiced writing your name fast over and over and over, and you start dropping some of the letters. But if we can make a match on, say, the first name, or you've got very distinct characteristics in the first letter of your first name and the first letter of your last name, oftentimes those characteristics, along with the size and relationship of the letters to each other, the position on the line, the spacing between letters, all those things we can consider. So you wouldn't necessarily have to put Joseph if that's the way you signed your registration card, but we would have enough to go on. And it's interesting, after looking at many signatures, thousands and thousands of signatures over my 10-year career here, that even as people age into disability sometimes, you can still find enough similarities between the style of their previous handwriting and their current handwriting. And in a lot of times, those instances we're able to make a match and say, yes, it does match, but it's clear that their signature has changed. So a lot of times we're saying, yes, it's matching, but we're still sending a letter and saying, could we get a new sample from you? Could we get a new registration card with a new signature that more reflects your current handwriting and your current signature?
Well, shall we proceed?
Yes, let's proceed.
As we've transitioned to vote by mail, our elections office has started looking more and more like a mail processing plant.
Well, this is a clean-looking machine. It's apparently German manufacturer, says Böwe, Bell & Howell, and it's got a big sign above it that says OK. So it's ready to go. I think I hear the vacuum going on it. What's the spoilage rate with this machine?
What do you mean by spoilage?
What is the ballot spoilage rate? Does the machine
doesn't break ballots?
That's wonderful.
No. We're gonna go in right here. This is our. This room is our ballot tally room, where we actually do the counting of the ballots. And as I mentioned, we use digital imaging. So these are essentially just high-speed digital scanners that are here, made by Fujitsu. So the laptops that you see are Dell's.
Can you tell me the model?
It's Dell Precision M2800.
And looking again at this laptop, I see that the USB port has been blocked with a little blue piece of plastic.
Right.
Do these laptops have a Wi-Fi capacity? Do they have Bluetooth? Do they have infrared?
So we don't. The whole idea behind this room is that there's no data that flows into or out of it. That network only exists inside this room. That server stack over on the in the corner there serves this network, and that's it. We're not on the county network. We're not on the internet. And so we've taken a lot of security precautions to make sure that no one could access this room, number one. As you saw, there's a, you know, you have to have a badge that's programmed to get into this room, and then once you're in, if you do happen to get in, you can't run in and immediately do damage. We have the, all the USB ports blocked with numbered security seals, so if if one of those was removed, we would know that it had been tampered with and all the seals are recorded. The laptops themselves have been hardened so that they only run a specific set of programs. So if somebody tried to load another program on the laptop, it just wouldn't run. I'll take you back in the signature verification room and we'll pull up the patch so you can see what they're looking at. So if you get closer, you can take a look there. And so for instance, like this one right here, you can see that there's almost no resemblance between this signature and this signature.
Uh-huh.
In this one, all we really have is a similar A.
We had an A.
But there isn't much else that matches there. And the rules say that we have to find multiple matching characteristics in order to call it a match.
Uh-huh.
And again, like I mentioned, that's what we will be doing is sending a letter, and then that person will have until 14 days after the election to send us a new registration card. And most likely that is just a signature maturing right there, and they'll have an opportunity to provide a signature that matches the ballot. And then again, you know, you have some that are just, there's not enough to go on. If people have a very stylized signature, and don't get me wrong, we match a lot of very stylized signatures because they do it exactly the same way every time. But if they don't, then we have a problem making a match because it's not using standard copybook letters and we're looking at essentially a squiggle on the line.
Well, and we're looking at three examples, and or we were, and I could see what you were talking about, that the one on the left could very well be someone aging, and the one on the right was very stylized, but it was an attempt. It looked like a very different attempt because the initial stylized, I'll just go ahead and say it was an M, slanted a great deal, and the other one didn't. And the one in the middle didn't even seem to have the same letters.
Right.
Okay, well, let me ask you this then from a political or opinion frame. In that first case I was talking about, in which we, you know, both agreed that the signature could very well be a case of someone aging and becoming more indistinct in their signature, wouldn't it be better to keep that signature? Because after all, rejection of a vote, which very well might be, even though you send out a letter, very well might be that that person doesn't get to vote in an election. And that's something that's done to felons, or in a lot of states, it's not even done to felons.
Well, again, these are the rules that we have to follow that are put forth in the Vote by Mail manual. And we have to follow the law.
But there's surely some leeway in terms of how carefully, how exactly one might want to interpret it if it rejects valid. I mean, because,
well, how
for
do
example,
I know it's valid?
How do you know it's valid?
Given the rules that we have to operate under, which is finding multiple matching characteristics within a given sample, that's what we have to go on. What I would suggest is that if there is a desire by you or others to change the law to give us a new standard to operate to, we would operate to that new standard. Our job really is to make sure that the laws are followed and that the election is conducted fairly.
And this is Joe Meyer with KBO News.
Teresa Mitchell, KBO News.